So thanks everybody for navigating the parking this evening and showing up. It's great to see so many of us here this evening, sitting with the windows open, hearing the wind in the trees and the people chattering away about graduation. And it's a beautiful night. There's a little breeze coming through the zendo. I happen to be next to the altar, and I can hear the candle flickering from that little breeze. And it's so wonderful to feel that sense of openness here after a long winter and a long rainy season, to have such lovely weather. The good and bad come and go. So I want to explore this evening the three pure precepts. It's interesting, the precepts are a way that we vow in this practice. Basically to cause less harm in the world and do more good in the world. But they are very, very deep teaching. And I think that it can be almost easy to overlook them. You can think, you know, I want that real Dharma. I want that stuff that's about, you know, awakening and enlightenment. You know, the precepts are just kind of, you know, what I do from day to day, but, you know, they don't matter so much to me. And I think that it's helpful to think about the precepts as the manifestation of the awakened mind. If we are interested in awakening, the precepts are actually a beautiful pointer and worth exploring in the deepest kind of way. So you may have noticed, those of you coming here for some time, that there are a number of us who wear these funny looking bibs. And these are called raksus, and we have sewn them. That process alone was beautiful and fun and social. Many of us would meet together and sow these rice fields based in some loose way on the pattern of monks worn in the ancient times. So these rice fields that we wear are the robes of the Buddha. And each of us put them on as we sit together as a reminder of our vows, and our vows are the precepts. And what I want to do is just focus on a few of them. I may not even get to all three of these. I'm going to read three, but I may not talk about all three. So these are the three pure precepts. Not knowing, thereby giving up fixed ideas about myself and the universe, I vow to cease from evil. Bearing witness to the joy and suffering of the world, I vow to practice good. Honoring wholeness in myself and others, I vow to save all beings. So actually what I want to do is start with the opening lines for a moment. Not knowing, thereby giving up fixed ideas about myself and the universe, I vow to cease from evil. So, giving up fixed ideas about ourselves and the universe is what we do on the cushion. We might imagine, as I've said, that honoring the precepts is not a meditative endeavor. This is just the work of what we do out in the world. But they do come from a place of deep practice. And I think that's really my main point for today. Thesis stated. That this ability to cease evil may have something to do with our practice on the cushion. I don't know about you, but I've noticed for myself that so often when I do things that I regret, they come from a place of certainty that I am the one who is right. It's such an interesting feeling to experience certainty. It often comes with a kind of, it's a mental formation, right? It comes with a kind of feeling. And that feeling can take the shape of a kind of anger. It's really not permanent. But in the moment when we experience certainty, we are quite sure that we have found something objectively true and lasting. And in that moment of being so sure of ourselves, for me, certainly, that tends to be the time when I am least respectful of others. Someone else may have an opinion that is different from my own, and out of my certainty, I may treat them poorly. It never makes things better. My experience when I treat people poorly is that they respond reactively and push away and distance. So not only does it not accomplish my desire, which is, of course, to have them bow down in worship of my certainty. So not only, therefore, is it an unskillful way of behaving, but in addition, I cause suffering for that person usually and for myself. Just another little drop of suffering out there in the world. It doesn't mean, though, that we have no ideas and we have no responses. There is something in certainty that suggests that this is absolutely and always true. It is absolutely and always true that you should have done the dishes tonight. Or in the bigger sense, we can have these notions. Our practice here in sitting on the cushion is to watch thoughts arise, to watch them come and watch them go. It's quite a deep practice. And of course, we're not only watching thoughts. It's we are embodied. And thoughts come and go in this larger environment of our embodiedness. They are part of the landscape. And in some way, we aren't quite so attached through this practice of sitting and watching thoughts because we recognize that all of these different thought formations are made of air. They just come into being like those little cartoon bubbles. And then you move on to the next frame. And where did it go? Just disappears. And the more that we see that again and again, the more we realize that that is also true of our certainty. Although we don't feel that way when we are having those thoughts. So often certainty has led to such profound harm. Wars are born of certainty. Both sides, by the way, in a war, believes they are right with absolute certainty. Something to think about in that. So, this practice of watching certainty arise and watching it dissolve is very powerful And it's out of this practice of seeing thoughts arise and dissolve that we become somewhat less attached to those notions that arise and dissolve. And from that, we gain some flexibility. We gain a certain amount of freedom. Maybe we come to realize, oh, I recognize this feeling. This is certainty again. And maybe then we can be a little bit more choiceful in how we respond to certainty when it arises. We can second guess ourselves a little bit. Say, wait a minute, if I do this act that's flowing out of this absolute certainty, am I going to actually make the situation better or make it worse? So there's a kind of pause button here. And that pause button allows us to refrain from evil. It allows us to refrain from causing greater harm, and it flows directly out of the awakened mind that is not caught up completely in the realm of thoughts. The second, bearing witness to the joy and suffering of the world, I vow to practice good. So if the first might be characterized as wisdom, the second is compassion. Here we are practicing wisdom and compassion in these precepts. If those aren't the heart of the awakened mind, I don't know what is. Of course, I may not know what is. So compassion, bearing witness, this kind of openness. It is so easy in this world to withdraw, to try to create our own little refuge, create our own little island where we don't have to bear witness in some way. Whether that is through alcohol abuse, whether it is through Netflix abuse, we can, in fact, become quite good at this turning away from the suffering of the world. We can also become quite dead, because in that turning away from the suffering, we are also turning away from the joy. These are two sides of a coin. As we all know, that which brings us great joy in life passes, and shortly following comes sorrow for what has passed. So we kind of can't have one without the other. They just come hand in hand. And as we deaden ourselves to the world, we become sort of numb. This practice here is about opening our hearts, opening ourselves wide to what actually is from moment to moment. And we don't have to look far to find joy, to find people celebrating graduations and bright futures, to hear birds singing in the trees, to feel the breeze on our skin. And we don't have to look far to find suffering, to recognize so many aspects in our own hearts. The sadness of goodbyes with people we love. The sadness of a world on fire. In some ways, unable to recognize its own burning. Unwilling to recognize its own burning. Just going on business as usual. When there's so many people suffering and so many people who could be helped. The practice of awakening is, in fact, about being attuned to things exactly as they are. To allow those mirror neurons to function and compassionately witness whatever is, and allow it to motivate us to do good. To allow these present feelings to encourage us to reach out, to be kind, to reduce the suffering in the world, because we know what it feels like. One might imagine that the awakened state is some sort of aloofness. I hope not. For the sake of all beings. And it doesn't seem to be based on the precepts. And the third, honoring wholeness in myself and others, I vow to save all beings. That is impossible. Utterly impossible. And still, we go about it one moment at a time. What is this honoring of wholeness? We are not separate from all beings. How do we save all beings when we are all beings? There is a very deep way of practicing with this precept that certainly manifests in our actions in the world, and that also manifests as we sit on the cushion. Who do we block out of our hearts? We all block people, events, things out of our hearts. Every one of us does. How can we be made whole again? How can we open wide to erase the delusion of our separateness? To recognize the interpenetrating wholeness that is you, that is me, that is all beings. Allowing all beings to reside in our hearts, where all beings already reside. Recognizing our true nature. These precepts are enlightenment. They are not separate. They are the highest calling of Zen.